Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the program. The Big Ten tournament gets underway tonight. Indiana tomorrow, fun day of basketball. Today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pure basketball heaven, and glad to have you with us. We do this show each weekday, live at 11 o'clock, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, and lots of basketball. You can guarantee that here on the show. Producer Justin Kalen, are you there today?
I'm here today.
Does Kenny Payne, as of this moment, this hour, still have a job?
As everything I've seen, he does indeed still have a job. However, sometime today, he will be informed that he does not.
Okay, I read something last night from our friend Rick Bozich that Josh Hurd, the University of Louisville athletic director, is now on the women's basketball tournament committee, so he has to report to Indianapolis, I think it was yesterday or today, to begin tracking all the conference tournaments and begin laying out a blueprint for the different scenarios of the women's NCAA tournament. And so that means that a conversation, I assume, either has already been had or will be had virtually or by phone or some other way. So interesting to see. I think everybody expects Kenny Payne to be fired. There have been reports, I think mainly from the national college basketball guys, that it's coming. It's not a matter of if, but it's when the announcement will be made and when the actual notifications will go out from the school. But it does sound like the end of Kenny Payne, a short 2-year stint as the coach, Justin, is coming to an end very soon.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, he won 12 games in 2 years. Let me say that again, Matt. 12 games in 2 years he won. What a... I mean, I don't want to, like, tear him down or anything, but what an awful stint. An awful 2 years he had at Louisville. Got signed to a 6-year deal.
Amazing. You know, I will say this, and again, I think Kenny Payne, it's best for him, best for Louisville if they move on.
Yeah.
And I, like you, I expect that to happen at some point today. That said, I do want to play devil's advocate here for a minute. I promise we're going to get into IU stuff in the normal show here in just a minute, but think about what he inherited. Rick Pitino had lots of success, but then a big scandal. He exits, NCAA problems, Chris Mack, more problems, some success, but not as much as you probably would like to see. He vacates the program in the middle of the season, leaves the roster in a mess. Kenny Payne, who's not been a head coach, that's Louisville's problem, but he takes the job, and here we are 2 years in with 12 wins. So I agree with Coach Payne and what he's saying. I'm not sure I agree with some of his press conferences this year where he plays the blame game a little bit, but he's been put in a tough situation, and 2 years is not enough time. But what makes me feel like it's the right move, and you too? Is it because of just how bad it's been, even though it's been a small sampling size? Or what stands out to you as a reason that, hey, 2 years into a program that really needs a full rebuild, we got to go ahead and make a change here if you're U of L?
I mean, so for me, it's not just about the wins, Matt. I mean, 12 wins in 2 years at a place like Louisville is just flat inexcusable. And you get 4 years or 4 wins in the first year. That's never happened in Louisville history. Worst season ever. And then you like to think they showed some improvement this year, but they still win just 8 games. So for me, it's not about the wins. I promise it's not. It's about the product that I've seen on the floor. Just guys not trying hard, and I think that starts at the top for me. So that's where I sit on the whole Kenny Payne thing. His press conferences exhaust me, because you're right. I mean, you said it. He just it's everyone else's fault and it's not his fault. So that to me is not a good mindset to have. If you're the head coach of a university, especially one like Louisville, you've got to take the fall. You have to be the fall guy, whether it's your fault or not, and you believe it or not, you have to be the fall guy, and he just has not done that. So yeah, I think it's time to move on. There can be somebody better out there to come in and try to clean this mess up. I mean, they have the talent. That's the thing. Like they have talented pieces on this roster where they should have been able to compete, win 15, 16, maybe even 17 games this season, and it just wasn't anywhere close to what we got.
All right, Justin Kalen starting the show with me. Justin, before I get any further, I've already got a text with a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
Here to the show. Thornton's text line texter says, Justin said on the show this morning that the Kentucky High School basketball tournament was better than Indiana. I've got to remind you, Justin, here, you're on the Big X.
Yeah.
A legendary signal in Southern Indiana that I know we have Kentucky and Louisville and lots of different play-by-play here on the show. St. X, we've got it all here nowadays. But we're a Southern Indiana legacy, and this is a station for 60 years that has followed New Albany, Jeff, and other teams, the state championships, great players, Indiana All-Stars. We've been courtside for the biggest moments for Clark and Floyd County teams. So I think earlier today on our Kentucky morning show, you ruffled some feathers with the old Southern Indiana audience that may have had the station tuned in at that point.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for selling me out there, Texter. I appreciate that. No, I was not saying that the Indiana tournament's not great. I have a special place in my heart for the Indiana tournament. It's what I grew up with. It's what I know better than any other state association high school basketball tournament. But I don't know. Last night, you and I talked a little bit last night, Matt. You know I was on the call for Great Crossing and Lexington Catholic, which is the top two teams in the state of Kentucky. And something about that game last night just flipped a switch in my head, because that game was so massive because it meant so much. I mean, you're down to the Sweet 16. There's only one team in the state of Kentucky that wins it. And I don't know. I guess that's where that mindset comes from, is that there is only the one champion. So it did make it – last night it made it a little more special. That game was so huge because of the one champion aspect. But I wasn't I wasn't trying to poop on the Indiana playoffs at all. I love the IHSAA playoffs. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you and I have talked about this, so yes, I'm setting you up to have to explain yourself. But I want to say this. I love, after calling games on the radio the last couple weeks, you know, Saturdays are tied up with sectional championships, regionals. You know, it's normally a day game, afternoon game, so your Saturday, you got to travel a little bit. You lose that relaxation, that college basketball time. Semi-state, I'm going to be in Newcastle, so I'll leave Friday night or early Saturday morning to get there. But one thing I love to do after calling the sectional and regional on Monday and Tuesday night this week, I love to go as a spectator to the 7th and 6th region boys championship games out at Valley in Louisville. I couldn't make it Monday because of work. I did make it last night to see my friend Larry Miller take on Fairdale. And, of course, Fairdale, I think of a great mentor of mine, Lloyd Gardner, who I had a chance to catch up with last night. Some other great Fairdale people that have been really good to me over the years with some of the basketball stuff that I've done. But that said, Evangel won. Evangel's got a great team. It's kind of a crazy story. They have an enrollment of 37 kids in the school. But they have been able to gather in this new world some great basketball players to go there and nonetheless have a terrific team that I think can make some noise down at Rupp Arena. So I appreciate the Kentucky tournament. The districts, the round before the regional, where they can lose and still advance,
yeah.
To me that is just absolutely unbelievable in a single elimination high school tournament that you can lose and still advance. To me, I guess what I'm saying is high school should be single elimination. I can't ever imagine a scenario where we get together and say, let's put this state tournament together and you can lose in this format and still move on. It makes no sense. But outside of that, the Sweet 16 for the boys at Rupp Arena, I've been to it years and years ago. I used to go every year with Eddie Ford and his family. Eddie's the father of Travis Ford, you know, former UK great, now at St. Louis as the coach. I have wonderful memories there. I saw great games at Rupp Arena. They do their finale to the state tournament, the Sweet 16, better than anybody. So I love Indiana. I'm in the exact same boat as you. I'm going to choose the Indiana stuff to broadcast. I'm going to choose the Indiana stuff to follow and talk about. But the Sweet 16 at Rupp Arena, it's the real deal. It's 4 days of basketball, of fun. All the coaches in Kentucky go, and it's a networking deal. If you're a young coach up and coming or a broadcaster or whatever your role might be, you get to see some great basketball. And the crowds generally are good, the way they do the sessions and the tickets. A lot of these county schools especially that win their region, they really pack it in there. It's a big, big deal for them. Some of the Louisville schools at times struggle to fill up their quadrant of Rupp Arena, but I'm with you. There is no better high school basketball tournament in America than Indiana. The way it's done, the way it's ran, the way it's administered, the great talent, the great gyms. But Kentucky in that Sweet 16, it equally has its own benefits. It's a special deal.
Yeah, I mean, you just took every word right out of my mouth. That is the one qualm I have about the KHSAA playoffs is the fact that you can lose in that district round and you're still alive in the tournament. But, I mean, I get it. Like I said a few weeks ago with you, it's the same way Florida does something similar in terms of the district rounds where the first two teams get out regardless if you lose. But so if they could find a way to eliminate that and not take the top two teams out of the district with one of them being the loser – Then I think Kentucky would have an argument against Indiana. But yeah, I probably still am on the Indiana side of things in terms of the IHSAA playoffs. But last night was just a good reminder for me that, hey, this state over here, they only do one champion, and that makes it a little special. So I know people in Indiana long for the days where there's only one state champion again, but I also love it how it is now where you got four. I mean, it's not like we're getting 12 to 15 state champions in Indiana. There's four. That's still a pretty rare occurrence to win a state title.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, I wish it was one class, but I get your point, and I agree. Real quick, before we move on, let's talk about your game last night. My game was decent. Evangel jumped out on Fairdale. Evangel had way more talent, but Fairdale's played really good as a team, which has helped them get to the 6th region championship. 30 years ago, Fairdale was a dominant team. They won the state. That was right when Lloyd Gardner and Stan Harden, I think, was involved as well at that time. I think Fairdale won 3 Kentucky championships back-to-back-to-back. But your game was amazing. I got to see the video clip and hear your great call the last 30 seconds or so. Great crossing. It's a new school, I believe, in Scott County, Kentucky, and everybody knows the tradition of the Scott County Cardinals and boys basketball in the Bluegrass State. But a good area for hoops, and number one, great crossing was down. And they came back and beat Lexington Catholic, who's always a powerhouse. Walk us through that final 30 seconds. It was an amazing finish to a big regional championship game.
Yeah, it was. Great Crossing was down by 3, and Lexington Catholic actually had the ball with under a minute to play, and they still had to get fouled twice to be able to go to the free throw line. So my thinking was they're just going to hold this thing out by the half court line and wait until they get fouled. Ultimately, they'll go to the free throw line and salt this thing away. But they have this kid, Tyler Doyle, who is a Bellarmine commit. He had a wide open lane to the bucket. So he decides, you know, instead of holding it here, I think I'm just going to drive in. So he drives in. Great look at the basket, had the wide open lane, but Great Crossing has 7'1" Malachi Moreno waiting for him down on the low block, who's Malachi Moreno getting recruited by everybody. Indiana's in on him, and Moreno blocks it away, and that gets us down to the other end of the floor. Actually, at that point, it was tied up at 53 apiece, and yeah, they were – no. Well, now I'm confusing myself here, Matt. No, okay, so Moreno blocks the shot. They go down. Great Crossing hits the game-tying 3. And then on the other end, Lexcath misses the shot. Great Crossing. Lexcath had a wide open look at 3 from a 51% shooter to win the game or to put them ahead with very little time left. They missed that shot. Great Crossing gets the rebound with 5 seconds left. Pass it up the floor, top of the key 3. Nothing but net. It was fantastic. Place went absolutely bonkers. It was loud in there last night. There was every bit of 5,000 people. So, yeah, it was great.
Wow.
It was great.
Well, that's great. That's great. Your call was great.
Thank you.
The video was great. It was much more exciting than the finish of the 6th region game that I was at. But still a lot of fun. So Marino, he's an IU target. I think a lot of Big Ten schools are looking at him, right?
Yeah, he's getting all kinds of love. I think he's got almost 30 offers now. And actually, fun fact, Coach Cal and Orlando Antigua were about 10 to 12 feet from me last night taking in that game. Scotty Davenport was there as well to watch his kid. So, yeah, it was a big-time atmosphere last night at Dunbar.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Justin.
Of course.
Let's go a little in reverse order today. Honey Baked Ham show lineup today. Segment one, you heard Justin. Great stuff on Kenny Payne. And then, of course, the Kentucky versus Indiana high school state tournaments. We'll have a few more headlines coming up here in just a second. Also, a little bit later in the show, Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star is a regular guest on Wednesdays. We talk a little bit of everything, college hoops, the Pacers. We'll talk the tournament, conference tournaments, you name it. We'll probably get to it in our chat today. And then later in the show, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk local sports. We'll get focused on the Red Devils of Jeffersonville, who are headed to Newcastle on Saturday for a very tough challenge. I love this Jeff team. I think they have gotten better. They have elevated themselves here in the postseason, which you expect to happen. But they have a tough road ahead of them. This 4A semi-state, where you're basically playing Indianapolis area teams, is tough. And so Lawrence North might be the favorite, to be quite honest, when you look at who they've got and who they've played and records and all those sorts of things. And that's who Jeff will open with in the second game of the semifinal round Saturday morning. We'll be on the air at 11:40 a.m. and our coverage, the play-by-play, the game will tip at noon. So you can join us, we think, here on the Big X for that, depending on conference tournaments and some other things that we've got to juggle with play-by-play. We'll definitely have the game on the radio, but should be a lot of fun. We'll talk with Josh about that. We'll preview the matchup, take a look at the semi-state. Look at some of the other area semi-states as well. Scottsburg breezed through the regional. They're going to see if they can get to a state championship with a couple additional wins this weekend. Brownstown is a reasonably local team that I think has a great chance of not only making a state championship, but winning the state championship. And one thing I didn't realize until we got the tournament started, maybe sectional week, is because of NCAA tournament, I guess it's regional games in Indianapolis, this is the first time that I can remember that semi-state will be played on this Saturday. And then there's a pause. There's a week off between the semi-state and the state championships. And that is so odd and so weird. And if I was a coach and you get in these routines in the postseason, I would absolutely hate that. And I didn't catch that until a few weeks ago. So that is a different deal this year. I know you got to make it work in Indianapolis when you're trying to get certain arenas and you've got other conflicts and things going on, but definitely something interesting to watch, and that will be different for teams that win semi-state games this weekend. But we'll talk about that and more with Josh when he's with us a little bit later in the show today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great sandwiches and salads and soups that are all made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Do you have any March Madness traditions, any parties? I know it's the conference tournament week now. I love that as much as anything because you know what good basketball you've got ahead for the next 4 or 5 weeks. But we are there. This is a big day. Big Ten tournament officially gets underway tonight. And it's important to pay attention to this Penn State-Michigan game tonight because that's who Indiana is going to take on in the nightcap on Thursday night. I am so ready to get these conference tournaments underway and look forward to really having a good weekend of following basketball between the high school stuff at Newcastle and all the college games on television. But send in your questions, your comments, your thoughts, whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's reasonable and fair, we'll get it on the air, the number 502-414-1450. And if you're looking for an icy cold thirst quencher to keep your day going in the right direction, right now at Thornton's, all 32-ounce fountain drinks and smaller are only 89 cents. You heard it right, only 89 cents. So come in today and grab a fountain drink from Thornton's and send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Texter says, curious with these firing of coaches this time of year, why don't these schools put contracts together where they are performance-based year to year with big money instead of laying out 6-8-year deals and then having to pay them to leave? Thank you. Yeah, I guess that's a thought. I'm sure that that has been considered. Obviously, schools, especially that may be taking a little bit of a chance on someone, and I think taking hiring Kenny Payne was taking a chance on someone that's never been a head coach. You would think maybe there would be an opportunity to structure deals differently, but definitely schools go heads over heels for new guys. They want to roll out the red carpet. They want to build in all kind of bonuses into the contract. And this even goes down, you know, to mid-major schools like Indiana State. I know they're on the bubble now after losing the conference championship tournament game to Drake over the weekend. But most of these guys have big bonuses for winning the regular season, for winning a conference championship, for getting into the NCAA tournament. And really for each round that they win or advance, so many different opportunities for these coaches to stack additional money in addition to their contract. But that is a good thought. But we're at that time of year where coaches' firings are happening, and it's kind of a sidebar show to all the conference tournament and NCAA tournament stuff. Normally, if you're going to make a change, you do so right after, you know, the season comes to a close. In fact, I don't know if you saw this or not, but somebody sent me a link to a video, a tweet, where I think it was Utah State, the women's basketball coach there. I have no idea the backstory or what their record was, but she's on the podium answering questions from the media, and you can tell she's very distraught, and you assume it's because her season has come to an end. They were defeated in their conference tournament, and whatever the question was about next year, developing players, or whatever it was, her answer was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I just got fired. I just got told before I took this podium that I wouldn't have this job next year. So you think, why in the world could you not let the coach finish the press conference and, you know, maybe get back to the office? I know transfer portal and recruiting, it's a whirlwind now, so you got to keep things rolling. But just weird how this stuff happens, and there's always some oddities like that each year. But, yeah, definitely coaches this time of year on the hot seat, and there will be some changes. I don't think a ton in the Big Ten Conference, but you never know what happens once the carousel of coaching changes and hiring gets underway, and it's basically underway at this point. One other note I wanted to mention here in the first segment, we're to that time of year where we're going to be talking about the transfer portal, especially when Indiana's season officially comes to an end. But I saw a tweet just before I came on today that Penn grad transfer, I believe it's Clark Sligert, he told On3 Sports that he has heard from Indiana, Florida Atlantic, Arkansas, and LMU. He's a 6'1" guard who averaged 18 points, 2.9 assists. He shot three-pointers at a clip of 42.2% this season. Again, he's from Penn right there, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania. Crazy, too, a follow-up tweet to that. It says a longer list of schools, Indiana also on that list as well. But according to his agent, I guess now, you know, these players can have agents that help them navigate transfer portal, or I should say, yeah, well, the transfer portal as well, but also the NIL stuff. So it's just what a world we're in to talk about or think about a college basketball player. You're talking to his agent to get a recruiting update as he enters the transfer portal. So it's just a crazy, crazy world, that's for sure. But Big Ten tournament tonight, Michigan, Penn State, I know is the game of interest because Indiana gets the winner at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. We'll talk more about that game and about the overall bracket coming up as well and get into some other stuff related to IU and conference tournaments and college scene right now. It's a lot of fun here as we get into March Madness. And I know it's been going on now for a week with the women's tournaments. The Big Ten finale was great. The crazy SEC finish between LSU and South Carolina with a little scrum there that happened. Obviously, that was very interesting and kind of odd to see. But for me, March Madness, when the Big Ten tournament starts, that's the real signal that the postseason is here. So I am really, really amped to get this tournament underway and watch some good basketball. I think we're going to be treated to some really good games in the tournament, and I'm going to say this and may look like a fool a couple days from now, but I really think that Indiana has a chance to win multiple games this week. I think they got an outside chance to make it to the championship game. I think the Illinois game in the semifinal will be tough for Indiana. But I think, honestly, with how they've been playing, it would be a disappointment not to make it to the semifinal round and get a chance to play Illinois. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out. But Indiana is maybe a couple three-pointers away and some more defensive intensity and some basic fundamental things, I think, away from being a NCAA tournament team. And there's still that outside chance, if they can get to the championship game but more so win it, that they could head to the tournament, which would be crazy. So my prediction is a decent week for Indiana. I'm not going to tell you I think they're going to win it or beat Purdue in the final. But if Purdue were to get beat, watch out. This could just be a crazy year. You never know what can happen. This could just be a crazy year. I just have a feeling it's going to be a wild and crazy Big Ten tournament. We'll head to a break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star. Still ahead, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune as well. 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Again, 502-414-1450 is the text line. Love to hear from you. Got a couple texts to get to in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program, having some trouble connecting with Dustin Dopierak. He may be on a plane headed to a Pacers game for the Indianapolis Star. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, a couple things I wanted to get to with Dustin I can cover here by myself in this segment. Some Big Ten postseason awards yesterday. Malik Renew has been named All Big Ten Honorable Mention. A big honor for him, for the 6'9" forward. He is averaging 15.7 points, 5.9 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 0.6 blocks, and playing just a tad over 28 minutes per game is Malik Renew. Kal-El Ware and Mackenzie Mbako were also all Big Ten selections this season. Ware was named to the second team all Big Ten by the media, and all defense team as well. And then Mbako was co-freshman of the year and also, of course, on the all-freshman team as well. So some good notes for those guys, which obviously would all be really key pieces for Indiana next season. I think we kind of agree that Ware is likely going to go the NBA route, or at least give it a good try, and I think he should. He definitely has made major gains this season. We talked a lot about that yesterday. Malik Renew, I don't think there's a more important player in the portal, or potentially to keep out of the portal, than Malik Renew for next season, and likewise Mackenzie Mbako as well. Could Mbako try the NBA? Maybe he should. Maybe he will for learning experience, but I think you want to keep him out of that portal. Those are the key guys that you want to have back, in addition to now Galloway and Leal, some more, I don't want to call them role players, but guys you need and guys that I think Indiana fans would welcome back. They've already made their announcement that they are going to be back next season. First team All-Big Ten, Zach Edey of Purdue. Big Zach getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Boo Booey of Northwestern. Terrence Shannon of Illinois. Braden Smith of Purdue. Marcus Domisk, I believe I'm saying it correctly, of Illinois. Second team, Tyson Walker from Michigan State. Just saw him on Sunday. A.J. Storr of Wisconsin. Jameer Young from Maryland. Tom Anega from Nebraska. And Tony Perkins, an Indianapolis native that's at Iowa having a good year. Third team, for those of interest, Peyton Sanford of Iowa. Ace Baldwin Jr. at Penn State. Dawson Garcia, that's a familiar name from years ago with recruiting, who's at Minnesota. Of course, Kal-El Ware is on the third team. Rink Mast of Nebraska. Brooks Barnheiser, another Hoosier, another in-state guy on Northwestern. And then honorable mention, I mentioned Malik Renew. Owen Freeman of Iowa, who was co-freshman of the year along with Mbako, was also an honorable mention. Mason Gillis at Purdue. Fletcher Lawyer of Purdue. Chucky Hepburn of Wisconsin. I'm just kind of touching on the list. It's a long list of guys that were honorable mention. But the all-freshman team was Mbako, Freeman, Cam Christie of Minnesota, who's a great player, John Blackwell of Wisconsin, and Deshaun Harris-Smith of Maryland. The defensive team, Baldwin from Penn State, Clifford, I never can say it, Ormoreu of Rutgers, Zach Edey, of course, Chucky Hepburn, Wisconsin, Kalel Ware, Indiana, Brooks Barnheiser of Northwestern. Player of the Year, no question, Zach Edey of Purdue. Defensive Player of the Year, Ace Baldwin of Penn State. Indiana's got a taste of him this year for sure. Sixth Man of the Year, Mason Gillis, Purdue. Co-coaches of the year this year, Fred Hoiberg, well-deserved for him, and Matt Painter of Nebraska, no surprise there. I mentioned co-freshman of the year, Mbako and Freeman. And pretty cool here, the Howard Moore Assistant Coach of the Year. It's named after the former Wisconsin coach who made a very emotional return to Wisconsin one of their last games, maybe their last game, senior night of the season, back to be with his former team and coach guard. Of course, he had some devastating injuries and situation with his family. But Brandon Brantley, an in-state guy who's at Purdue, former high school basketball star at our state, he was named the Assistant Coach of the Year as well. So just kind of a look at things from a Big Ten honors perspective. And as you start to see that stuff come in, you start to think about next season, even though Indiana's still playing. And you do wonder about things, the portal, even in good years, even if Indiana was headed to the tournament and all was rolling well, there's going to be surprises in the portal that enter the portal you don't think will. And I think Mbako and Renew are so important to retain those guys, especially with Ware very likely headed to the NBA, that's for sure. A couple texts on the Thornton's text line I want to get to. Texter says, I've read a few places if Indiana makes it to the championship game, there is a good chance they will be in. The last I saw, it looked pretty strong to me. They had to win it to get in. I know this stuff changes, and it's been 48 hours or so ago, back to the weekend from when I really took a decent dive into it, so maybe there's been some stuff change or not, but I think that it's possible they could get in, getting to the championship game, but obviously a win guarantees that. Couple other texts. How many games do you think we need to win in the Big Ten tournament to make the NCAA tournament? Again, last I looked, it was to win it. Now, maybe the championship game will do it. What would that be? How many games in a row? 7 games in a row, Indiana's won if they get to the finale of the Big Ten tournament. Maybe that's enough, but I can't confirm that. It seemed just a few days ago they had to win it based on metrics and where their net score was and what they needed on their resume to get in. But things could have changed with some of the other wins and losses and other tournaments that are going on out there. And then the texter says, do you think Gunn and Banks stay after this season? They haven't got a lot of minutes this year. I'll be honest, I'd forgotten about Banks. I thought he was still injured, and I was talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall the other day, and he's available. And Gunn, I don't know. I think there. My gut feeling is there will be a lot of players enter the transfer portal. Maybe a couple end up being retained. Maybe none of them do. Maybe Indiana makes a big overhaul of things this offseason, and sometime that can work out. Sometime it doesn't work out very well, but it would not surprise me at all to see Gunn and Banks and you name it. It really would not surprise me to see a number of players consider and or enter the portal and or leave the program. It's just one of those seasons where there's been a lot of ups and downs, and who knows where things go. But I do think we'll have a handle on it fairly reasonably after Indiana's last game. If they don't make the tournament, I think that these guys obviously will tell you what's going on. They all respect the Indiana fan base, that's for dang sure. And I think that they'll be, I think we'll find out sooner rather than later, unless there's a late surprise, which is always possible. But the transfer portal, it's just crazy to keep up with, and you can bet we're going to, in a few days' time, have just a ton of new names to talk about and wonder about, including some that, have had good conference tournaments for their mid-major team or led their team to a conference championship. So it's definitely an interesting time when the portal opens right after some of the conference tournaments. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll get into some local stuff. We'll talk Jeffersonville in the semi-state. We'll break down that Newcastle semi-state. All 4A teams should be fantastic. And we'll take a look at some of the other area teams. Nobody left beside the Red Devils from Clark and Floyd counties. But we'll expand our horizons a little bit here today and take a look at Brownstown and Scottsburg and some of the others that would classify as good Southern Indiana programs that have a chance to make some noise this weekend. Stay with us. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday show, final segment. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us, and it's semi-state weekend, and it kind of has the right feel. It's two games, one day. The winners move on to the one-game state championships a few weeks from now, and it's Jeffersonville. It's all the Red Devils, Josh, if we're going to have a local team move on to a state championship locally, and boy, do they have their hands full. I like this Jeff team. I think they're playing great basketball, but Lawrence North in their opener on Saturday, then they would get the winner of Ben Davis and Center Grove in a semi-state championship game on Saturday night. All of it will take place at Newcastle. Going to be a lot of fun, but man, Jeff has some tough competition coming this weekend.
Yeah, definitely a stacked field, that's for sure. You know, some of the top programs in the state going at it right there. As you mentioned, with those four teams, so it's really going to be it's really going to be interesting, really going to be exciting, and you know, whoever makes that, whoever comes out of there is definitely going to be have deserved it, or you know, have earned it, because that is quite a quartet of teams that are going to be battling it out up there in Newcastle. So, you know, it's going to be if people can make that drive up there to Newcastle, you know, hopefully Jeff has a good crowd. You know, that's going to, you know, I think it's going to be an entertaining day of basketball, that's for sure.
You guys had a feature story today on Jeremy Rose. Kind of an interesting deal. He transferred to Jeff, and I know transfers are much more common these days, but he transferred to Jeff in the offseason from New Albany, a rival school, played against the Red Devils for the first 3 years of his high school career. And it's taken him some time to work in. Jeremy's always been a talented player, but it's taken him some time to really work into the Jeff lineup. He's always basically been a starter for the Red Devils, but you know, as far as actually really fitting in and really being in the flow of things, you can tell as the season has went on, that has happened. He's gotten better and better, more comfortable and more comfortable. And here in the postseason, whether it's setting up the offense, whether it's controlling the tempo, Saturday he had three big threes in the first half. So multiple ways, but Rose has been a big deal here in the postseason for Jeff, and he's really a new addition still for the Devils.
Yeah, definitely a tough situation to come into too. You know, like you said, he played his first 3 years at New Albany and transferred this year to Jeff. But especially coming in, you know, Jeff has that great dynamic junior class. You know, full of talented kids: Trey Singleton, Michael Cooper, and you know, he came in and you know kind of had to be they kind of had to work him in there, as Sharon said in that story today. Just kind of, you know, find him a spot and help him learn his role, you know, as that point guard. And, you know, he's the only senior starter for Jeff. And, you know, he's really had to kind of learn, I guess, maybe that leadership role. But, you know, everything's working out now in the postseason, and everything's been going well for him. And he's definitely had a big part in Jeff's run here to the semi-state, that's for sure.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Let's talk about Jeff's first opponent, Lawrence North. The Devils are going to take on one of the really good programs over the years in Indiana high school basketball. Lawrence North used to be led by Jack Kiefer, a legendary figure in our state. Chris Giffen, in his second year, has already got the Wildcats in the semi-state round, where they've been many, many times. 25-3 is Lawrence North, and just a glance at the schedule, you know, they've played a schedule that reflects some of the best competition in Indianapolis night in and night out. They've played tons of big 4A schools. They've played some other top teams from across the state. So they are very much battle-tested as you work through a sectional that includes some really, really good programs and really good teams. They beat Cathedral in the sectional championship, Avon handily in the regional championship, and now they'll take on Jeff in the semi-state round. So this first opponent for the Red Devils, it's no slouch. They are really good. In fact, I think some people might list Lawrence North on paper as the favorite of the four teams at Newcastle.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just a really good team. If you're, you know, if you're from Indianapolis and you survived that that sectional that they were in, you know, you've got to be a really, really good team. You know, obviously they've got some talent. You know, I think they've got some, you know, they've got some big kids. So they're, you know, they're definitely a formidable foe for Jeff. I think they're maybe ranked fifth in the AP poll. You know, it's not going to be an easy game, that's for sure. But you know, I think Jeff has a shot in this game. Quite honestly, I think they might be able to get past the Wildcats. I think it'll be a tough one. But you know, I think they can do it. And then you know, if they do, maybe it might be with Center Grove in the championship game possibly facing them, or Ben Davis. You know, two just great, great programs. So it's not going to be easy, but you know, you think about it, and I think you've mentioned it too this week on your show, but you know, this is Jeff's schedule has been great, and you know, Sharon made it out this way, so you know, it would start to pay off this time of year. You know, they've played some tough teams. You know, they definitely, you know, over that Christmas break and Christmas time, they had some really difficult games against some really difficult teams, and you know, for his team, that's, you know, as we've said, is junior laden. You know, that's something that he's set up so that this team could grow and you know, get ready for this point in the season, in the postseason, where they play these difficult teams, and you know, you've seen it pay off so far, and you know, we'll see if it continues to pay off, but. You know, you really, really, you know, they've earned their spot in this tournament. So, I think it's setting them up for, you know, if, you know, they've already made the semi-state this year. So, you know, I think they're, you know, kind of playing with house money at this point. You know, if they can win one or two games Saturday, that's just awesome. But, you know, people around here, and you know, I've been looking at it too. You know, next year is really going to be the year for Jeff. So, you know, if they can, you know, do great this year, then that's just sets them up for, you know, possibly even greater thing next year. You know, maybe even a state championship. You know, we'll see how it goes. But obviously, you know, they've had a great year this year, and they just hope to continue to build off of this move forward. And you know, this kind of puts them back, you know, back in the picture. They're back to being, you know, one of the top teams in the state, you know, top programs in the state. So they just want to continue to build off of this and you know, establish themselves as quite the team. And you know, hopefully for Jeff, this, you know, this pays dividends next year. And you know, heck, if they you know, if they can survive, play well, you know, I think they've got a great shot next year and maybe cutting down the nets at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We'll see.
Josh Cook, sports editor, News and Tribune. Big week of basketball. Going to be fun to see things in Newcastle. Josh, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Matt. Have a great week.
All right, Josh Cook with us Wednesdays on the show, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We talk local sports, and you know, before you know it, we're going to be talking high school baseball, which was one of my favorite sports here in the area that we probably don't talk enough about. We've got really good baseball teams, players, coaches, and looking forward to getting into that season after we get through all the great basketball madness ahead. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the show. We'll be back Thursday at 11 a.m. You can always catch us live here on the Big X, 1450 a.m. and 96.1 FM, streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. All you got to do is click the Listen Live button, and you can find us just about anywhere on podcast as well. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you should find us just about everywhere. All right, have a great Wednesday. Back tomorrow, and it'll be game day for the Hoosiers against either Penn State or Michigan, and we'll have it all for you on Thursday. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.